Pleased I'm not having to talk about yours, because I don't know anything about it, really.
You have 60
just
seconds.
Just the odd glimpse in the changing room.
60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Well, I was presented with my thermal underwear when I was in a film which necessitated me being out in the cold and wet. It was a tremendous asset in this bitterly cold climate that I was in, north of Manchester.
Very grim, much
in
north of Manchester. Oh, yes, you did, which
means
you
hesitated. In Manchester, yes.
And Derry Grimmer has the subject of my thermal underwear, 34 seconds, starting now.
I really wouldn't be without thermal underwear these days. I used not to have it when I was a child, and I suffered awfully because I had a Liberty vest, which I never liked very much, but my thermal underwear has totally changed the whole of my existence. I go wandering through the fields of the countryside in the depths of winter, aglow within and without, all because of my thermal underwear. And I do recommend it to you, especially those that have come here from New Zealand. When you get to the South Island, go up the mountains near Queenstown, wear your thermal underwear. Then you will be nice and cozy like Rice.
Tim Rice challenged you as you were halfway up that mountain.
In the middle of the commercial.
There was a brace of wares.
Oh. Tim Rice, our guest, who now knows the game pretty well, has cleverly got in with 2 seconds to go on my thermal underwear, starting now.
Ludwig.
And Peter Jones, a challenge.
Well, hesitation.
Yes, I do. What a way to treat a guest.
Well, he's almost one of us now.
I know. Sitting in the chair that is often occupied by Clement Freud, who's very clever at getting in, so he's obviously some of that has gone off onto Tim. But Peter got in as 1 second on my thermal underwear, Peter, starting now.
You can get it, man.
And Tim Rice challenge.
It's deviation.
Why?
The way that he began his discussion was quite clearly very, very devious.
Yes. Very nice to hear from you, Tim, but absolute rubbish.
Yes, so, I do so agree.
Yeah. So you have another point, Peter, and an incorrect challenge in a fifth of a second starting now.
Or nylon.
Oh! Tim Messiter couldn't get his whistle in his mouth in a fifth of a second, so it was longer than that before the whistle went. But, Peter, you are in the lead alongside Tim Rice at the end of that. Tim Rice? He's hardly spoken. How did he get 3 points?
Well, he got it
the wrong
then.
Did he? Oh, he said, that's right. Yes, I do apologise.
Yes. Thank you.
So, Peter...
He's getting a bit gaga, you know.
Repetition of gar.
So, Peter Jones and Tim Rice are in the lead, equal at the end of that round. And Kenneth Williams, we're going to hear from you at last. Because we'd like you to start the next round, and the subject is getting the audience excited. Something you're very good at doing. But would you now speak on that subject, starting now?
Getting an audience excited. It's a marvellous subject for this programme, because a man who's done exactly that is, of course, the honourable gentleman beside me, Tim Rice. The shows that have excited audiences all over the world, not just here, but in the metropolises afar, and all due to this incredibly...
Tim Rice has challenged.
Yes, I don't think metropolises is a correct word. I think the plural must be something else.
Metropoli.
Possibly. I'm not sure, but I know metropolises is wrong.
I'm sure, speaking colloquially, one would say, and especially trying to keep going under pressure in just a minute, you would say metropolises, even
well, that's
if
irrelevant.
It's not a correct
pressure
word.
Is the name of the game.
I know.
I think that's very mean when you were being so nice and flattering about him, Kevin, yeah. Too.
Yes,
it's
a
nasty streak, I think.
I think we're going to let him get away with metropolises and let him keep the subject with 34 seconds left, getting the audience excited, starting now.
Well, when Bette Davis walked on the Astor Theatre in A Question of Gravity, people were leaning forward on their seats agog with excitement. Isn't this the very essence of great performing? I recall seeing Charles Laughton at the theatre, which was then called Wyndham's, and he was absolutely marvellous. What am I talking about then? Still
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Now, I meant the new theatre, which is now called Albury. That's what I meant.
So what was your challenge, Jerry?
Radiation. We're talking rubbish, you see.
Rubbish, it's true. The new is now the audience.
I know, it is, absolutely.
No, I must give you the benefit of the doubt here, Kenneth, and you have 5 seconds on getting the audience excited starting now.
This happened in the chalk garden when Edith Evans said, "Conversation is not a cast horse, it is a thoroughbred."
Well done. So Kenneth Williams was speaking as the whistle. When gained that extra point, he gained other points in the round, and he now is equal with Peter Jones and Tim Rice in the lead at the end of the round, and for once, Derek Nimmo is a little way behind. And Tim, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is what I do best in 60 seconds. Can you reveal something of yourself in just a minute, starting now?
What I...
Kenneth Williams...
Hesitation.
No!
That
was absolutely true. I wouldn't allow it twice to a guest like that. Peter Jones got away with it once because it was a long hesitation. It was only half a second. No, Tim, you have a point for an incorrect challenge. By the way, when I said that study, 2 people in the audience nudged the woman sitting next to them. I thought it was rather sweet. Tim, the subject is what I do best in 60 seconds, and there are 59 seconds in which to talk about it, starting now.
What I do best in 60 seconds is excite an audience with my charismatic...
That's a new word for it, isn't it? Peter, you challenged first?
Yes. It was appalling, wasn't it? That hesitation...
You're not here to pass judgment on the efforts of our guests.
No, quite. He hesitated, yes.
And Peter, you can tell us
I don't even remember now what the subject was.
Well, you should repeat it before I ask you to go.
Oh, thanks very much.
So if you've woken up again, I'll say you have 15...
Well, he was saying the audience were excited. I was looking at them where their eyelids were drooping, they were leaning forward, going to sleep.
Well, there are 52 seconds for you to tell us on something on the subject of what I do best in 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, you'll never believe this, but I get undressed terribly quickly. When my children were small and it was difficult to get them to go to bed because they didn't want all the routine of getting their clothes off, and I used to demonstrate.
Tim Rice challenge.
There was a definite hesitation there.
No, not at all. I used to demonstrate, I said.
It wasn't definite, but there was a hesitation.
And it wasn't definite, but there was a hesitation.
Yes.
And as he was a little bit harsh on you a little while ago, I will allow that harsh challenge in your favour and say you have the subject back of what I do best in 60 seconds, and there are 38 seconds left starting now.
In my younger days, I was quite a keen runner, and I used to sprint 440...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
That was a kind of indefinite hesitation that I demonstrated just a moment or two ago.
No, it wasn't as bad as yours.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
So, Tim keeps the subject, and there are 34 seconds left, starting now.
What I do best in 60 seconds is often talking, but when I'm in the company of such distinguished gentlemen as the erudite Mr. Nimmo, the flamboyant Mr. Jones, and the undescribable and indescribable Kenneth Williams, I feel myself clam up, forgetting that, in fact, I am an extremely gifted talker who, under normal circumstances, would be able to continue in this sort of flow of... unmitigated.
Derek Nimmo, Charles.
Another one of those little hesitations, definitely.
All right, you'll have the benefit of the doubt on this occasion, Derek, and 10 seconds on what I do best
what?
In 60... What I do best in 60 seconds, and 10 seconds left starting now.
What I do best in 60 seconds. Somebody once said, making love to me was like going to one of those modern dentists. It only takes a minute and you don't feel a thing. Now, I think that might be a very unpleasant thing to say for 60 seconds, so I might change and talk about that.
Only Derek Nimmo could get away with it.
I'll be censored again. Back to the sand offers, I can tell.
Derek, you've gained some points, but you're still in third place with Kenneth Williams, but only a little way behind Peter Jones, who is trailing only 1 point behind our leader, Tim Rice. Derek, your turn to begin on the subject of the Seychelles. As you travel a great deal, I don't know if you've been there, but tell us something about that island, starting now.
Well, it might interest you. Now, I have been to the Seychelles only once, say, Mr. Parsons, and I enjoyed it greatly. It's a little group of us, about 90 altogether, in the middle of the Indian Ocean, off the coast, well, rapid driving.
Tim Rice, the challenge.
Oh, the whole thing was just terrible from the word go, but he, A, repeated island, and then hesitated.
Island and islands.
No, I don't think he did. I must say his words were getting a little swallowed.
Deliberate trap, it was, island and out.
Well, of course, you're bound to say Kisside. You said, tell us something about that island.
I know, I meant to say...
Having said the Seychelles, you said, tell us something about that island.
Well, not all...
That could be more stupid. I mean, from you, you're supposed to be erudite. You're supposed to be sitting there learned, sagacious, witty. I haven't seen a sign of it. No sign of it.
I've heard...
And we know he's on quite good money.
Kenneth, I have heard one member of this panel...
Yes, he gets more than us, doesn't he?
I've heard one member of this panel regularly say, have some respect for the chairman.
That's when I feel you're being done down.
Well, what do you think I'm being done to now by you?
No, you're on a crest at the moment.
All I can say is nobody is perfect, and as I said, the subject of the Seychelles, I realise it should have been group of islands instead of island, but as I said, you know, we can all make mistakes, aren't we? The audience are in the old studio are on my side. What was the challenge now, anyway? Oh, no, Derek, you managed somehow very stumblingly and to keep going, so I disagree with Tim's challenge, and you keep the subject of the Seychelles, and there are 47 seconds left, starting now.
In 1981, Colonel Mad Mike Hoare tried to have a coup there, and he landed from South Africa in an aeroplane with a load of mercenaries, machine guns,
Tim
and rifles.
What's the matter now? Tim Rice.
I don't think he took off from South Africa.
He did, actually, yes.
I do think he took off from South Africa. How do you know?
Tim, I disagree with the challenge, and there are 36 seconds left on the Seychelles with you, Derek, starting now.
If you leave the capital of the Seychelles, Victoria, on a boat and progress across the water to another one of the Seychelles group, you will find on that particular...
Tim Rice, a challenge.
At last, we've had two groups. He cannot deny that.
Yes, you had the group of islands. Right at the beginning, you talked about a group of islands, and now you've had a group again. It was definitely. And there are 25 seconds for Tim Rice to talk on the Seychelles, starting now.
As the palm trees sway in the golden breezes, I remember.
Derek Dimmer,
you can't have golden breezes.
You have golden breezes. Gold, I've never heard such rubbish. Golden breezes. If any breeze has got a colour, I've never seen breezes with colour.
You can see, audience, how when they wind each other up, the difficulty of keeping going, it's so easy to come
out. If a breeze is gold, it's called by quite a different name.
Right.
The lyricist in him is beginning to come through.
I know. But within just a minute, I think it was deviation, so whoever challenged has the subject. And there are 20 seconds left on the Seychelles, Derek, starting now.
On the palm trees grow the coca de mare, which is a curious fruit, which in fact looks like a human being's bum. I was collected and brought back from travellers from all over the world because it is deeply rude. And when you look at it, you say, what is this? They don't say this is a fruit.
So I think Derek really was saved by the whistle then. We'd heard the rest of that sentence. I don't know what would have happened. But he got a lot of points in that round, and he's now equal with Tim Rice in the lead. And Peter Jones, will you take the next round? The subject, punks. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
I rather like them with that Mohican hairstyle. They have to express themselves somewhere or other. They don't have many of the resources that wealthier people have.
Ken Williams, a chance. Kenneth, you have the subject and a point, of course. And 50 seconds on punks, starting now.
This is just another way to draw attention to oneself in streets which are averagely filled with people who are dressed quite differently. I would say orthodox fashion. I mean, if you look at the ordinary...
Hesitation. Derek got in first, so he takes the subject of punks, and 33 seconds left, starting now.
Punks are a kind of tinderwood which you use to light fires, or say they were in my youth, but I now know that there are other kinds of punks, ones you see in the King's Road, and so forth. What I like about them is their freedom of expression. I once interviewed Johnny Rotten and Sid Vicious for the television program, and they took one look at me and said, "You're boring. I've never seen anyone look so stupid as you in all my life." And I had to agree with them because I caught a glimpse of myself in a looking glass at the same time. Punks are very forthright, brightly coloured hair, and sometimes they wear...
Listen to just a minute and hear the punks defend it. And Derek Nimmo did that and kept going to the whistle went. He has now taken the lead ahead of Tim Rice, with Kenneth Williams and Peter Jones just behind Tim. And Kenneth, your turn to begin the subject, Buffalo Bill. Will you tell us something about that character in this game, starting now?
Well, I myself, he's something of a cult figure in America, part of folklore.
Peter Jones, a chance.
Hesitation.
No, I disagree. It was sort of... No, no, it wasn't real hesitation. So, no, Kenneth, you keep the subject of...
Simulated.
It was teetering on the edge of hesitation, but not quite tipping over into the error.
Yes, yes.
So,
right.
52 seconds for you, Kenneth, still on Buffalo Bill, starting...
2 seconds?
52
oh,
seconds. 52,
I'm getting...
52
yes.
seconds. Buffalo, they are getting so tense and so needling, aren't they? 52 seconds left. Buffalo Bill, Kenneth, starting now.
They called him Buffalo Bill because he was reputed to have destroyed over 5,000 buffalo in order, apparently, to provide meat for the workers on the Kansas Pacific.
Tim Rice challenged.
I felt that it was building up to a big hesitation.
It was building up to a big one, but you did have a small
one. I'm saying the Kansas Pacific Railway. There's nothing
odd
about that.
You did actually hesitate. There was a long pause at one point.
Towards...
Yes, I would go with that one.
Did it go beyond teetering?
Yes.
I was making the point. I said the Kansas Pacific Railway, on which these men were now, he killed these buffaloes. I said meat, you see.
I've got to be fair within the game, and Tim, you have the subject with 33 seconds on Buffalo Bill, starting now.
Buffalo Bill went to see his cowboy psychiatrist and said, "Sometimes I think I'm a wigwam, and sometimes I think I'm a teepee." And the psychiatrist said, "You're too tense."
Tens a challenge.
Repetition.
Yes, repetition of sometimes.
Yes, I know.
You absolutely ruined this joke.
Yes.
I mean,
some of the audience got
the point, too tense, you see.
Yes, they got
that
it,
was Kenneth, the gag.
You mean I'm too tense?
No, that was the gag, Peter.
What?
No. It was supposed to be a joke.
It was
you
a joke.
You pressed your buzzer on the payoff.
Yes. But I kept going. Like
but he did repeat sometimes.
Yes,
he did
I
repeat
did.
Sometimes, so yes. You're in there. What you have to do, let him get the joke out, then press your buzzer, then give the repetition.
But if I wait for him to get the joke out, one of these two people will press their buzzer.
Not if they're going to wait for him to get the joke out as well. Doesn't matter. You have the correct challenge. What is
well, how do we know there's going to be a joke? Is this a joke?
But if you haven't got that professional antennae, that sixth sense that tells you there's a good joke coming, then I don't know, Mr.
Well,
Miller.
Not with Tim Rush, you don't know.
Oh, it doesn't matter, as long as they're rude to somebody.
Even when matter. He's made the joke, you sometimes no, don't know.
It has to be explained. Oh, love, I nearly bought me own beer.
Now they're being rude to Tim, who's one of the most successful of our lyricists and authors in this country. But Tim, that is what you suffer on just a minute. But you're a great sport, and we love having you. And Peter Jones has the subject, and there are 26 seconds left on Buffalo Bill, starting now.
If you don't pay cash for your buffalo, a Buffalo Bill is what you get. Now, you can give them a check, I suppose. Or you could put it on American Express or some other
card. It's Williams,
deviation, we're not discussing Buffalo Bill. We're talking about paying money in American Express.
No, he wasn't. He was still on the subject of this particular...
The subject is Buffalo Bill. It's not paying your bills with credit cards.
He had rather cleverly taken the subject
it's
of Buffalo
deviation,
Bill.
It's deviation, isn't it? There you are.
This time...
We lost
it. He had quite firmly established his way of taking the subject was talking about a bill for buffaloes. So, Peter, I'm getting confused now. They don't look much alike either. There are 11 seconds Peter Jones, Buffalo Bill, 11 seconds starting now.
I believe you can order buffaloes on mail.
Tim Rice, a chap.
There was a definite there.
It was, know. Yes, it was.
Yes. They keep changing their allegiance, this audience. 1 minute with Kenneth, next minute with Peter Jones. And Tim Rice, you have a correct challenge. 7 seconds, Buffalo Bill, starting now.
When I owned a small herd of buffalo, I gave them all extremely...
Peter Jones, yes?
Yeah, Jones it is. Jones. He didn't ever own a herd of buffalo any more than Colonel Hoare flew from South Africa.
What did you say? Did you say about owning a herd of buffalo?
I hadn't yet finished. I explained that this was, in fact, a herd of model buffalo.
Yes.
Which I had as a child.
It's perfectly possible.
It would be a set of model buffalo.
Could have been a dream he had, couldn't it?
Well, I don't want to go into his unconscious, for God's sake.
Tim, there are 4 seconds for you to continue with Buffalo Bill, starting now.
One I call Dave, one Ron, and one...
Kenneth Williams.
We had two ones. One
yes.
I called and one
yes,
I
had three, as a matter of fact.
So, Kenneth, you very cleverly got in with 2 seconds to go on Buffalo Bill, starting now.
There's a town called Cody in Wyoming.
Well, Buffalo Bill gave us a lot of fun. And the situation is that Peter Jones and Kenneth Williams are equal, only just in third place behind Derek Nimmo, who's only 1 point behind our leader, Tim Rice. And I think it's probably going to be the last round. I've been told it is. So it's going to be neck and neck to the end with Tim Rice beginning, and the subject is perfection.
Who is to say what is perfection? Answer, I am, because I have to speak about this subject. Frankly, some people's perfection is other people's idea of hell. There are many individuals who would state categorically, without fear of anybody disagreeing with them, that, say, for example, the Mona Lisa was perfection in the world of art. And who am I to disagree with this view? But I could put up a very good case for the Laughing Cavalier. And as I can't think of too many other pictures, I was rather hoping somebody would have pressed a button by now.
And Kenneth Williams helped you out with a challenge.
No, a deviation. He was hoping people would press a button. It wasn't about perfection.
Right, Kenneth, so correct challenge, another point to you, and the subject of perfection, and 27 seconds starting now.
It is, of course, me. I embody all those lovely things which people want to be.
Derek Nimmo's challenged.
Deviation, he doesn't.
Some people might think he does. I'm sure his mother is convinced that he does. So therefore, however much you disagree or however much you agree, there's certainly someone who would agree with Kenneth on that. So, Kenneth, I give you the benefit of the doubt, perfection, and there are 18 seconds left starting now.
My first director said to me, "You are perfection. It's marvellous to have you on this stage looking such a treat. Always you're here knowing what you've got to do. Thoroughly professional. And what a walk." He said, "I've never seen a date like that."
I don't think anyone dare challenge on such conceit as that. So Kenneth kept going until the whistle went. He gained that extra point, and he has leapt forward. And let me give you the final situation. Once again, we have a very fair result at the end, because I think you would agree it is their contribution that's important and not the points they gain. So Peter Jones, giving his usual good value, finished just in fourth place. Only 1 point behind Derek Nimmo, who was only 1 point behind our joint winners, Kenneth Williams with Tim Rice. We do hope that you have enjoyed listening to Just a Minute as much as we have enjoyed playing this game. And it only remains for me to say, on behalf of Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, and Tim Rice, the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, our producer, Edward Taylor, and myself, Nicholas Parsons, thank you for listening. We do hope you'll want to tune in again when once again we play this delightful game. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.